Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeCompte and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. Today, we're going to be talking about our beginnings. How did we get involved in being the simple church? How can you get involved? Let's listen.
All right. Well, here we are. Podcast number one.
Yay.
The nameless podcast at this point.
Well, we'll figure out a name later.
So.
Seat of the pants.
There we go. And so, Tom.
Who are you?
I'm Gavin Durson. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. And who in the world are you?
I'm Tom LeCompte from Louisville, Kentucky. And the thing that we have in common is we both attend churches that are otherwise known as simple churches, organic churches, house churches.
Weird churches.
Well, I don't know how weird yours is, but we're just here because we have decided or consciously made decisions to worship in a simpler form. And by that, I mean a little bit back to what we read about in the book of Acts. Now, we do simple church because we want to get a little bit back, a little bit more back to what it used to be, what it was in the first century, and looking at what it's become. It doesn't have to be so complicated.
Tom, why don't you, I thought, you know, today I think for our first podcast, we're going to just talk about kind of our stories and how we arrived at the table here today, and I'll be happy to start. Why don't you start, though? Why don't you just kind of begin with that? How did you end up here?
Oh my, it's been a long, long road. Well, I've been a Christian since I was a child, 8-year-old child. So, you know, I don't have this big, exciting testimony, but, you know, my parents raised me in the church. I have been in the church all my life, since I was a baby. And I'm in my 50s, so, you know, we're talking 40 years of attending, going to, driving to a location, going to a church, you know, and of course worshiping with people, the people of God, but it's always been about a place, it's always been about a building, it's always been about programs, it's always been about, you know, graded Sunday schools, things like that. And that's how I found the Lord, and that's how lots of people find the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you know, it was through the church that I, you know, my wife and I decided, you know, 20 some years ago to go to the mission field. And, you know, we went to Kenya and spent about 7 years in Kenya. I was a helicopter pilot, not a church planner or anything like that. But, you know, I helped out church planners, things like that. I saw what a variety of mission agencies did. And so when we came back to the United States, all I wanted to do was find a church that had a real vibrant mission program and become the missions pastor and just share missions with people, get people excited about missions.
Go on mission trips.
Go on mission trips, take them on mission trips, get them to where they would go on mission trips, train them, you know, whatever. So I enrolled in the seminary in Louisville, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And that was my vocational and career goal, you know, stay in missions. I don't think we, you know, the Lord kind of closed some doors on us as far as going back to missions, you know, health-wise. But what's the next best thing I could do? I could send 100 people in my place.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to mobilize, be a missions mobilizer. I've been involved in the Perspectives program. I think you're familiar with that.
Yes.
And teaching Perspectives and coordinating that. And that's been a lot of fun. But graduated more than 10 years ago from seminary. And my last year of seminary, of course, that's the year that you send out all your resumes. And you do all your interviews for possible church jobs, things like that. So I spent that last year doing that. all the only jobs that came my way were, oh, you want to be my youth pastor? Well, no, that's not really what I'm interested in, or
yeah,
it's not what I'm called to. Or how about the children's minister? No, sorry.
Yeah.
So, and there were some like small group leadership. Yeah, kind of interested in that. But, you know, almost no churches wanted a missions pastor.
Yeah.
Which is discouraging. But, yeah. You know, kept at it. In the meantime, let me back up a little bit. My wife and I had homeschooled both of our kids from kindergarten through high school. And this was 10 years ago. So they were still in high school. And through her network of friends and associations with homeschool, Bonnie knew a lot of people. And they were involved in this new thing called, you know, they had formed this house church. And all immediately it was like, oh, that really sounds weird, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't think homeschool was weird because I was already involved in it. But it's like home church, it's a little weird.
It's like, how many things can we do in the home?
That's right. Yeah. Home remedies, home. Yeah. but her, you know, her friends were worshiping in this home environment. And one day we just decided, let's support our friends. Let's go check it out and see what all the fuss is about. And then, you know, I've got an interview next week. But we went to this one house. It had about 10 families, lots of kids, you know, our kids' age, lots of kids younger, a little older, whole lot of families, very family-oriented. And the way they did the worship, you know, it was just sitting around the living room with a guitar, singing songs, things like that. So, this is cool. This is just like some of the small group stuff we've always done, you know.
Yeah.
Throughout our career, we've always been involved in some kind of small group activity, you know, small group Bible study, navigators in the military, things like that. So it felt very comfortable to us. The thing that sold it for me is when we had our time of Bible study, we counted off, you know, like 1 through 5. And then each number was a group, and each group was assigned a scripture to study. And it just so happened, I mean, this was random. This couldn't have been planned. My group was mostly teenage kids, and I was like the only adult in the group. And we were assigned a scripture. So here we are. Okay, here I am. I'm about ready to graduate from seminary, so I guess I'm going to have to show these kids how to do it. Well, we separated, got in our groups, and before I could say anything, they just kind of took charge. They read the scripture. They interpreted it. They made application. They made insights. And these were teenage kids that had been homeschooled. And I was just amazed. And I just kept my mouth shut and let them do it. And they came up with something 10 times more brilliant than I could have.
Yeah.
And so that sold me, like, if these are the kids of the families that are involved in this home church, if this is the quality and the spiritual maturity, I think I want to be involved in this. And from that week on, Bonnie and I just stopped looking for a church. I don't think I sent out another resume. I already had a job. I had a full-time job. I'm a helicopter pilot, and I was, you know, making money.
Yeah.
Probably as much as any church would have given me.
Yeah.
And just decided that's it.
And how long ago was that?
That was about 10 and a half years ago.
10 and a half years ago.
Yeah, it's November of 13 now, so that was early 03.
Yeah.
Just before I graduated.
So, yeah.
So I could, why did I go to seminary? Well,
yeah.
That's another story, but that was 10 years ago, and we've been with the same church since. We've seen it grow. We've seen it shrink. We've seen it divide. You know, we've had our troubles. We've had our cool things that have happened. We've seen all those teenage kids grow up, and half of them are married now, and it's really nice. And you know, we're seeing younger families come in with their kids. So
yeah,
it's it's just been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a good little, I'm sure there'll be, as we continue this podcast, there'll be many more stories and lessons and experiences from that journey. But I think it's important for people listening probably to understand, because I think it's true for anybody. We all are operating out of our past experiences. You know, none of us come to the table completely clean slated. We all have baggage. We all have experiences, stories, things that's happened to us that shape a lot of our ideas about who we are and where we're going and what church is and what Christianity is and what the Bible says and these sorts of things. So for me, I guess, gosh, I'll try to keep it brief. I could probably, you know, it's...
Oh, why do that?
Well, I'll just stretch it out. This will be parts, podcast 1, 2, and 3, probably.
There you go.
I grew up in Berea, Kentucky, small town, and didn't really go to church as a family much. I remember protesting going to church and winning the protest a lot when I was younger. But when I got to high school, I had a buddy that invited me to go to church with him. And about the same time, I started going to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting at school. Same friend invited me, I think, to both of those meetings. And that was kind of the beginning for me. My freshman year of high school, after going to this little church, hearing the same kind of, not the same, but hearing very clearly the consequences of dying without Christ on numerous occasions, that, you know, God began to stir in my heart and begin to worry about that a little bit. And I became a Christian not too long after that. But one of the key things for me is that I remember it was probably after the second or third Sunday I started going with my buddy to this church. And I think my mom may have went with me, was going with me too. But I remember asking my mom for a Bible, and she gave me a Bible. I was always the kid in class that would ask a gazillion questions and annoy the rest of the students because I wanted to ask every question in the book before the teacher would move on. But I remember getting this Bible from my mom, and really, I attribute this, it was a living Bible, and that's what she gave to me. And I started in Genesis, and I remember it was about halfway through Leviticus that I got saved. So I'll tell people, like, but it really was those times, like reading the Bible.
You got saved in Leviticus.
I got saved in Leviticus. That's and amazing. but it was more than that. I mean, it was just spending time with God. I was reading the Bible, and I was developing a lot of questions that I was writing down, actually, on a sheet of paper that I filled single space front and back. And not too long, I think a month or two in, they had a little lock in at this church, Silver Creek Baptist Church. I'm grateful to those people to this day, and love the people there dearly. But they had a little lock in, and got to sit down with the pastor. He said, after his message at the lock in, if you have any questions, I'll be in my office. And went there, and 3 hours later, came out of that office a new person. And there was nothing official that I said or anything. That's when I met Jesus in that office that night, and was baptized a week later, I think, and my life changed. But that was a big lesson for me, I think, seeing, you know, that God could work through just me reading that Bible. That really was the fuel that began my journey, just reading in that Bible and developing questions and being able to sit down with somebody to ask them. That was huge for me. But another pretty significant thing that happened in my journey with God was probably a few months after that. I don't even remember the exact date, but the pastor at that church and asked me to speak, to give part of the message. And I don't remember, I think I gave like, it was like a men's Sunday. I stood up and shared a little bit. And then even like a month after that, I actually preached a message after one Sunday night when he was gone. That was the Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning service routine there that they would do. I may still do. But that was huge for me too. I remember going and sharing, and this girl came to Christ. And so that played a huge role in my faith. And at the time, I interpreted that, and most people interpret that, well, Gavin's going to be a preacher. You know, you can get up in front of the church and talk about God, so therefore you're going to be in the full-time ministry. And so I just kind of, I don't know, I thought that was kind of interesting. Looking back, I realized that I think what was so big for me was just seeing that I got to play. Like, this wasn't something that I came to just listen to. I actually got to be a part of what was going on there.
You participated.
Yeah, I was participating, man, and that was huge for me. And looking back, man, that's, you know, not to jump ahead, that's one of the things I love about Simple Church is that people get to participate. You know, You could be a you could have never written a song in your entire life, and you could have carry a tune about like I can, and you could show up and share that song with people and bless people with it, you know. But so anyways, went on. FCA was pretty huge in my life. Went to the University of Kentucky. Got involved with FCA there, and then had the unique opportunity to do the mascot. They did the ran around as the Wildcat there for 3 years. My last 3 years of college. Got a marketing and business degree, FCA involvement got to be more involved. And my senior year, did an internship, graduated, thought about being a professional mascot, but they couldn't pay me enough. My skills were too good for people people couldn't afford me. No,
you made that person come alive. You made that Wildcat come alive. It was believable.
But I had an opportunity to work with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Took that opportunity, and largely in part because of a gentleman there named Max Apple, who I really was a great mentor and still is this day to me. And the opportunity to work with him and just share an office with him was great. But did FCA for 11 years, and I thought I would do FCA a couple years and then go on to planting a church. At that point, I'd kind of had this idea that had been muddling around in my brain since high school that I was supposed to plant a church, and that was about as far as I took it. I did read Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren in college, and that got me excited about what planting a church could be. Essentially, it was like kind of like FCA, you know. We would send out a big word and have the most awesome, you know, at least this is what I kind of got out of it. I'm going to do an incredible worship service for people to come to, you know. And so, you know, thought that's what I would be doing, but ended up not doing it. 11 years of FCA, I learned a lot of things, you know, and God started doing a lot of interesting things in my life. And I got to see a lot of young kids just wanting to share Christ with people, God bringing revival into schools. Sometimes I would see kind of not so exciting things happen. But when I look at all at what God was doing with average, ordinary coaches and teachers and students, it was just phenomenal. And began to have this tension of, hey, how can I get my family involved in something more like what I'm experiencing over at, you know, East Jesuit High School in the locker room before school? At that point in time, I thought that kind of a church that looked more like that versus what I'm experiencing on Sunday. Not that it was necessarily bad on Sunday, but there just seemed to be this unique, I don't know, just innocence, like normal folks just trying to, it was a mission. They were there. They realized, man, if we don't reach our school for Christ, no one will. And there was an enthusiasm about it. There was a realness to it. There was an urgency going on, and it was just, there was joy, and, you know, a lot of just those sorts of things that kind of naturally happen when people feel like they're a part of a mission together. That was exciting. And fast forward, I kind of wrestled through that. A lot of other things that I'm sure we'll talk about as the podcast rolls on, but was offered an opportunity. The pastor at the church knew I was interested in church planting. He had a vision for starting a satellite church and thought I was supposed to be the guy to do that. And Steve Elliott, a guy I'm dearly and great, I mean great, a lot of gratitude to my heart towards Steve Elliott and First Alliance Church in Lexington. But when I shared with them kind of where my heart was moving, which was more towards a house church, simple church network that could rapidly multiply, they were really excited about that vision, to my surprise. I didn't really think they were. I thought if they know what I'm talking about, they probably would be offended more than they would be excited about it. But I had taken a class, too, in this journey in 06 at Southern Seminary. A friend was going there with Dr. J.D. Payne, and it was a church planting class. And that's where I was introduced to church planting movements across the globe. We read Garrison's book, Church Planting Movements, and it kind of clicked to me. That was one of the key moments in my journey of just, I began to have a whole, I thought I was going there to learn how to start, you know, a purpose-driven church, and see if that might be something I was really ready to do or interested in doing. And I left there with more questions than I had answers. But the one answer that I had was realizing that for most people across the globe, church did look something more like, in some ways, more like the FCA's the ministries that I was helping to start all over Kentucky. It wasn't obviously a bullet point for bullet point in Garrison's book, but you know, when he looks at those 10 characteristics of church planting movements, I saw some of the similarities there. It just resembled more of FCA. And that's when the light bulb kind of went on for me. And I thought, wait a minute, that's why I love FCA. That's why FCA makes sense. That's why going to church for me has grown more and more and more frustrating and doesn't seem to make as much sense to me anymore. But maybe it's because I am part of church. I am helping to even maybe even start something like churches, even though I would not never be allowed to say that, of course, in a parachurch ministry. We wouldn't want to upset the church folks thinking we're out, you know, replacing church.
Right.
But
right.
I saw this. I saw there was something there, you know. And yeah. So when I shared this vision with Steve Elliott, he, to my surprise, said, let's do it. And it was one of those things it was a big step of faith. I'd grown to really love FCA. I thought I could do it the rest of my life, but I couldn't sleep at night, and I knew I needed to kind of stop that track in my life and see what might happen if God could help, if God wanted to start a church planting movement in the United States or maybe even here in Lexington, Kentucky, and maybe if I could be a part of that. And so that's kind of what I've been doing. That's why I'm here at this microphone, coming up on 3 years that I parted ways with FCA. And mm-hmm. By God's grace, I've been working on this simple church idea and helping train people to start simple churches, walking alongside people that are interested, answering questions, helping people figure out if God's calling them to this. And that's coming up on 3 years now, and the Lord's been gracious. There's still food on the plate, so praise God.
All right. You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways.